No palace, no jewels, no kingdom to rule, no crown of majesty. No throne and no robe, no silver, no gold, no courts of royalty. Yet the King of Kings left heaven to become a lowly man. He left all heaven's glory to fulfill the Father's plan. He still came just for me. He still came, knowing all he would endure. He still came, disregarding every cost, from the manger to the cross. He still came just for me. He still came. No family, no friends to help at the end. No out, no substitute. Much pain and much worth to give love and worth. He bore our sins' abuse. Yet the hope of all he offered so outweighed what must be done. He chose to be my victor and assured my pardon won. He still came just for me. He still came, knowing all he would endure. He still came, disregarding every cost, from the manger to the cross. He still came just for me. Still came just for me. He still came, knowing all he would endure. He still came, disregarding every cost, from the manger to the cross. He still came just for me. He still came, disregarding every cost, from the manger to the cross. He still came just for me. He still came.
Thank you. All right. We're in the book of Proverbs again. We've been in off and on for the last couple of years. We've had other series we've done and we've taken breaks. We're talking about the lazy man right now. Say that sounds harsh. Well, I know the Bible calls them that. Some people say they're unmotivated, okay? But just lazy, being really, we want to turn it around and make it where we're diligent. Our society lacks a great deal of character. You can't trust people nowadays. They fall through on what they say. So if you're a person that has any type of character, a little bit of diligence, you should be just fine. And so that's something we need to learn. we started out with the first one. We talked about some of the conditions of the lazy man several weeks ago. Last week, or last time we were together, we started talking about some consequences. By the way, we're really fortunate this time of year where several of our missionaries are going to be around over the next month, and so they'll be in church over the next few weeks reporting and speaking and so forth. Brother Esposito is going to be here, I think, a couple times. Brother Two's going to be in one of the services one time. Brother Adrian, I think he's not around right now. Who am I missing? Brother Vong's coming at the beginning of the year. And so it's nice that we have our own team and our own guys, and that they always get to come check back in, you know. So the mission field, particularly Cambodia, is a little more real to us because we're constantly hearing reports from the guys that are coming back. So that's a blessing. Now, some consequences of being a lazy person. We said last time they will always be under people. Now, some of these words, as I look at them, might be a little bit over the top, but that's the principle. They'll be under people. They are in for a rough way of life. And we said they will be frustrated by never reaching any goals. Now, the next one there, and this is new. We spoke a little bit about this. Letter D, they tend to suffer from restlessness. They tend to suffer from restlessness, so they'll suffer from restlessness and have sleeping problems. Okay? They tend to suffer from restlessness and have sleeping problems. Proverbs 26:14 says, as the door turneth upon his hinges, back and forth, so doth the slothful upon his bed. Now, all of us have faced times for whatever, maybe you don't feel well or something. You ever go to bed and you can't sleep? Anybody ever had that? Okay. What do they say you're doing when you can't sleep? Last night, all I did was toss and turn because, you know, man, the pillow's hot. Maybe the other side of the pillow is cool, and it is, but it doesn't stay cool for long. But I'm not talking about that. But a person that doesn't work very much, and listen, when a person is like that, they really are suffering from not having any purpose in life. A person that has purpose in life, when they do things, they get after it. I mean, they just it's just vigor, and this is life, and I'm gonna go for it. But when a person doesn't have any kind of a purpose, they have a tendency not to do very much. And you'll see that. They'll be restless. We mentioned they sleep too much several weeks ago. So that could be that they're not rested. Boredom should not be a part of life. Okay, now, I'm not saying you need to go 24 hours a day. That's counterproductive too. But, you know, if you have a little purpose in life and you're working and you're involved in a good church and you have responsibilities of life, you're really not going to be bothered a whole lot with boredom. Okay, boredom just means you need to find something to do. If I was retired and I felt I was bored or something, I would find something to be involved with. Maybe volunteer to do whatever it is. But boredom, a person that has purpose in life, they won't. Someone has said you should work so hard and just have such a full day that when you go to bed, you just pass out, right? How many are there any of you that when you go to bed, you fall to sleep pretty fast? Is there anybody like that? My wife says I'm like that, but I wouldn't know because I can't remember, okay? I get to bed, and it's like, you know, you fall asleep. Some people, and by the way, if you have sleeping problems, it doesn't mean you're lazy. Some people have some medical things. It's just a principle of life. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 12 says this, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. It's like, man, you know, you've had that long day. I remember we went to we went on a fishing trip in May. This was a couple years ago. We went after church on Sunday night. It was like a 6-hour. It was actually longer. We stopped to get food. We should have done that before time at Walmart. And when you have 8 or 9 guys shopping for food for several days, it's very, very slow. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's like we don't know what we're doing. I thought I got a great deal on these hamburgers. It was like $5 for a whole box. They wouldn't even come apart, okay? They were bad. I don't even think it was real. I think it was not beef, to be honest with you. So we got up there real, real, real late, you know. And by the time we got showered, got to bed, it's 2 or 3 in the morning, you got up early to go fishing and all that. Man, that next night, no, when it was bedtime, it was like it was time to cash in, you know. And you slept really good. And so when you're working and you have purpose and you've been doing, you go to bed, it's sweet. And that's what rest is for. But a person that doesn't work or have purpose, it's just like that's their whole life. And it should not be that way. Letter E. They typically, and I'm throwing a few words in here so it doesn't sound quite so harsh. It's a principle. They typically will not have the things that they want. They typically will not have the things that they want or really that they desire. Proverbs 13:4 says, The soul of the sluggard desireth. In other words, they have wants. They have things they would like to have, just like anybody else. But what's the next little phrase? And hath nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Okay, that doesn't mean you've been at every buffet in town, all right? Okay, that means blessed. You have, you're blessed. You have. Why? Well, because the sluggard, his desires end right there. He's not willing to put the effort in to get the things that he desires to have. See, that's the way you get things. You go out and you work for the things that you want. And by the way, you're not helping your little Oswald if every time they cry and scream and want something, you give it to them. Now, sometimes it's nice just to be a parent and give it into them, right? But we have a little generation of kids, and you, if you shop or go to the store at all, you see it. Some little, mommy, I want this. They don't get it, and they just freak out. Listen, the fact that they freak out is a good thing to tell them, no, they don't get it, okay? But sometimes you need to make them earn it. They don't have because they're not willing to work. They want everything handed to them. I read a story. There was a man traveling to visit his distant family. And as he showed up, he met his cousin, and he was sitting on the stump of an old tree. He asked, what are you doing? He said, well, I was supposed to chop down these trees, but a cyclone came by and knocked them down for me. I was supposed to burn some brush, but there was a lightning storm, and it hit the brush and burned it down for me. He said, so what are you doing now? He goes, I'm waiting for a tornado to come and rip all the potatoes out of the ground for me. And that's how some people want. They want everything given to them. That's not God's way. By the way, there's something good about earning what you want. There's something good about working for what you want. Lazy people want things. They want prosperity. They want the same results. They just don't want to put in the effort. You know, everybody's looking for the quick route to get everything. You know, 5 steps to this. Well, there's usually 100 more steps. You ever get these emails? You get a junk email that says, I make $10,000 a week. I make $10,000 a month working 5 hours a week. Now, that should be the testimony of the person writing the email. Okay? You're not, look, can I tell you something? There's nowhere you're going to make $10,000 a month working 5 hours a week. You know what they are playing to? They're playing to our greed. And they're playing to our sense of wanting something without earning it. I mean, look, everybody's going to win the lotto. You know, someone says lotto is tax for people that are bad at math. Your odds of winning the lotto are very, very, very low. Okay? You'd have a better chance of getting struck by lightning. But you know what we want? We want to cash in a $2 ticket for $25, $100 million. Because we want it now. We don't have to work. Listen, it's not going to happen. Work for what you want. But we want it. We want others to provide it for us. It's funny, you know, some of the candidates, Bernie Sanders, you know, I don't know if he wanted to pay off all the college kids' debt. And I was walking around the block and I saw a little, this was during the election, I saw a little card on the ground. It was a little advertisement for the Green Party. Now, I don't know what the Green Party is, but after I read the ticket, I think I figured it out. They wanted all of our money. They wanted our green. And her things was, we're going to not only pay off all the college debt, we're going to pay for everybody's college. College is free. No, it's not. Someone's paying for it. Okay? What we want to do is we want to take from the achievers. And I'm not against helping people. Don't get me wrong. But our society has come to this thing where we want to take from the achievers and give to those who don't want to do anything. Listen, if you don't want to do anything, you deserve nothing. Okay, that didn't go over very well. That's why sometimes these millionaires' kids, they don't accomplish anything because they've been given everything and they haven't had to work for it. Now, I read a testimony many, many years ago from somebody who worked with the Coors beer family. Now, he got saved and got out of that. But in this thing, he was given a story before he was saved. He was kind of bumping up the corporate ladder at the factory, and he decided he didn't want to do it. So he left. I mean, they're multi-billionaires, and they're going to stand before God for that, and they'll be regretful one day. But he said when he came back to work there, they said, "Oh, you want to work here?" He goes, "We're not giving you a position. You go work in the warehouse." At least they had that right. So work your way up. But we want to hand it to them. No, work for it. You know what God's way of getting things is? Work. Earn it. Save for it. Letter F. They, again, these are blanket statements, but they're not. They're principles, okay? So don't. They tend to live in poverty. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore, shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. By the way, he was using the cold as an excuse not to do the excuse so he doesn't have to do what he didn't want to do, which is work. So God says, well, there's a day coming you're going to want, because you're not working, you're not going to have it. They tend to live in poverty. Successful people are those who don't live by excuses, but they actually fight through them. There's a famous American author, his name was O. Henry. He wrote, I've heard that name before, but he wrote the story, The Gift of the Magi, and I think that's a Christmas type story sometimes they throw out there. He wrote a bunch of very famous short stories and became very, very successful. Well, he wrote that story while he was in prison. He went to prison, he was working as a banker, and he needed some money, and he thought he would take some and get it back. Well, it come to find out, well, you know, he got caught. So he sent him to jail. But while he was in jail, he turned his life around. Started working hard. He didn't like excuses. He had one guy he'd done some work for, and the guy didn't pay him, so he thought, I'll show up and get the guy to pay him. So he goes there, he goes to the company that owed him money. He said, I'm sorry, we can't pay you today because the guy who writes the check sprained his ankle. He said, well, I wasn't aware that you had to sign checks with your foot, okay? Now, he had some issues, but he was willing to work through them. He didn't let a mistake in his life get him down. He just outworked it. We're always looking for a reason so we don't have to do what we have to do. Excuses never get you ahead in life. Look at Proverbs 10:4. I think the verse is right there. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. We do no man a favor by giving them money. They should seek to earn it, get over the excuses, and do what they're supposed to do. A lot of times people that achieve, it's because of effort. You know, some people say, you know, I was just lucky. I believe in luck. No. Now someone has said, I believe in luck too. The harder I work, the more effort I put in, the luckier I get. Okay, it's not luck. It's about effort. If a person can't get ahead by working hard, there will be no motivation. By the way, communism doesn't work. By the way, someone needs to tell our media that. This has nothing to do with the Bible, but I'll throw it in because I'm just feeling it. Fidel Castro was not a good guy. I don't even understand how our media can get up and say, oh, they have health care. Whose word are you taking on that? Listen, I lived in the Tampa area and Florida, and there was a lot of Puerto Ricans that got out of Puerto Rico. I'm sorry, not Puerto Rico. A lot of Cubans that got out of Cuba. Yep. They sang a different story. Yep. We have this socialist, and Sanders was a socialist. Yep. You know what happens when you penalize those that achieve? Nobody achieves. When you reward those that won't work, nobody works. Yep. I mentioned this story before. I don't know how long it's been, but there was a college class. Teacher was trying to teach his class about socialism, communism, whatever you want to call it. And so they had their first test in the class. Then when he gave everybody their grade, everybody in the class had the same grade. And some of the people were like, wait a minute, I know I did better. I know that paper's an A. How come I only got a C? And he came up and told the class, he goes, we're going to be fair to everybody in the class. So when we take a quiz, we're just going to average everybody's grade together. Whatever the average grade is, everybody gets it. Now, the lazy kids were excited about that. Man, I have to work hard. I'm going to get a good grade. Guess what? The achievers were not excited about it. The professor told the person he was talking to, said, that was the only class. Everybody in that class failed. You know what happened? The achiever said, I'm working hard. I'm not getting ahead for it. Why should I work hard? And the lazy people said, hey, I'm getting a, even if I got a D, it's better than an F, which I was going to get anyhow, so I might as well, what's a big deal? No, there's no motivation. You ought to go out and try to do better. Amen. You ought to go out and put some effort in. Quit making it. By the way, this is America, okay? And I'm not dumb, I'm not blind. I know there's still some things that are going on and racism and so forth, but I'll just be honest with you. If you really want, you can achieve. It may be a little hard. I understand that. I'm not dumb to that. Okay? But listen, if you want to work hard, you can achieve in America. Amen. Or you can make it. You can be taken care of if you'll just work. Don't let excuses. Don't let someone determine where you end up. Well, that person's put me down. You know what? Prove them wrong. Prove them wrong. Well, I've had a bad break in life. One of the greatest hitters, I don't know if you like baseball, how many of you heard of Stan Musial? Oh, yeah. Stan Musial was a great hitter. Yeah. I didn't know this until I read a little article several years ago. You know, he started out as a pitcher. He wasn't a hitter. And something happened to his arm where he couldn't pitch anymore. And he lost his career. And you know what he said? He said, I'm going to try to become a hitter. And he just went back at it, started working at it. And by the way, in baseball, it's not easy to switch from one to another. Yeah. Okay? And he became one of the greatest hitters of all time. Just a little effort. He could have took an excuse and said, hey, it's over with, I'm done. And in some cases, maybe it is, but he had enough confidence in himself to get after it. Don't listen to other people. Don't listen to excuses. Don't make up excuses. The bottom line of this proverb can be described as it tells us in Galatians chapter 6. It's the law of sowing and reaping. We think of it in terms only of sin. Look, you can think of it in terms of everything. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. Galatians says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, God's saying here, look, God's not mocked. He is truthful. And God is just. So whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Yep. And he gives some examples. If you sow only to the flesh, you know what you're going to reap in your life? Fleshly things. But if you're sowing to the spiritual side, you know what you're going to reap? Spiritual things. But that's true of anything. Listen, if you sow labor, you're going to reap. But so, most people just don't want to do that. Letter G. Their mind will become clouded by their laziness. Proverbs 19:15. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. That's just talking about they're just cloudy. It's just like you're walking around. You know, you ever see someone say you're walking around in a fog? Okay, you know, you got up on the wrong side of the bed, that type of thing. Laziness is not good for you in any way. It's not good for your health. Look, God gave you a mind to use it and so forth, but if we don't use that which God has given us, we pay for it. Now, we talked a lot about laziness. Now, let's look at number three, the cure. We're not going to leave you hanging here. God gives us a cure for laziness. And these have to do with, basically, the ants, learning from the ants. Okay, so look at letter A. If I struggle in this area, if I struggle just being diligent, all that, how can I change that? How can I turn that around? What are some things I should do? Okay, letter A, learn from those who aren't lazy. Learn from those who aren't lazy. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6. He says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. The ant is the example. We're told to look to her ways, to learn about them. Ants, now if you get them in your house, they're frustrating. I mean, you can go there and you can blitz their line. You know, they all come to the line. You can blitz it, and they all run sideways, or you step on them, or whatever you do, if you're mean. And you come back later, and they're right back at it. Okay, they're very diligent. They're very organized. They're very uniform. They're not lazy. The ants, the example. The ants never seem to be still. The ant colony that they have is built on the principles of discipline and work. Have you ever noticed what happens if you disturb ants when they're doing something? It seems like they kick it into high gear. You notice that? They have their line and they're all going. If you mess them up, man, they take off, but they kick it into high gear. They're not lazy. How do you learn to be better? Look at those who are. You know, the problem in our society is we look to the wrong heroes. We lift up the wrong people. You know, and we don't follow them, but you know, some model. Well, she's where she's at because of something that has nothing to do with her. It was God-given beauty. And just because, you know, she's given a perfect face or whatever it is, doesn't mean she's somebody we should follow in life. Okay, I don't follow them, but I just, whenever you hear the word Kardashian, you just hear something stupid after it. Okay, it's just, and that's who we lift up as heroes. We lift up some athlete who just, he really has, now some of the athletes are good, don't get me wrong. They work hard, they have diligence, they have all those things. But some of them just have flat out skill, and they got something that God just gave them. And by the way, just because they work hard and throw a ball through a hoop doesn't mean they're going to tell me how to live my life and tell me how to deal with social issues. Okay? It doesn't mean they have a high IQ. Doesn't mean that they have a right to stand. We just have the wrong people that we look at. You always hear these guys, well, you know, this athlete got in trouble. And I always wait for the next word. Yeah, him and his buddy were at a nightclub at 3 a.m. Bingo. No character whatsoever. They've been getting something to give them some success, and they haven't taken advantage of it. But we should look at people who are really, really, really worthy of it. Watch for those who achieve. Those who by diligence and hard work and effort have accomplished something. You know, look, if you were going to have some type of business, if Brother Rawl wants to have a great concrete business, he's not going to go ask some guy who has a concrete business. He has a truck that only has 3 tires. You know, it looks like he has no jobs. Tell me, how'd you get to where you are? You don't need that kind of guy. Find somebody that'll tell you, like, here's the effort I put in. See, what we want is someone to place us somewhere. We don't want to work to get to that point. So watch those who are diligent. Learn from those. And I don't like, you know, I'm not a Celtic fan, but man, Larry Bird had a lot of character. The story is told that they won the championship, and the next morning after the championship, 6:00 a.m, he's out shooting foul shots. Maybe that's why he was a good shooter. He had a little bit of diligence to him. He wasn't lazy. Watch who you go after. J. Frank Norris, very, very, very tough. It was a different time. He pastored at one time in the 20s and the 30s, the two largest churches in America at the same time. And they weren't down the street. One was in Texas. The other was in Michigan. So one week he would be in Texas. Then he would take a train up to Michigan. He'd be in Michigan the next week. There was a big conference with a bunch of pastors there. Someone asked him, said, can you tell us the secret to your success? He goes, you know what? I'll tell you what we'll do. He goes, meet me tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. and I'm going to give you the secret to my success. So gave him a meeting place at 5 a.m. All the pastors were there. He got up and said, I'm going to tell you the secret to success. He goes, get up at this time every day and you should just be fine. Okay. You know what he was saying? He was saying there is no real secret to success except just being diligent. Yeah. Learn. Okay. We want it all handed to us. Letter B. Be willing to work on your own without help. Without help. Proverbs 6, verse 7, the key word there is, which having no guide. Guide. The ant colony pictures the great work ethic and the fact that the ants do not have to be told how to work. This type of person gets what needs to be done and how it should be done, and they just figure it out and do it. You know what most people do? They only do what they're told to do. And if something happens, they can't figure it out. They don't even try to figure it out, right? Remember, I worked, when I was in Bible college, I worked at Solo Cup, and I was a maintenance mechanic. And there was one thing on the machines that would always break down. It was called a brake. It was like a wax machine for the cups. So there was a main mechanic for that, and I would call the guy over, and he would fix it. So I'd watch him as he'd fix it every time. And I thought, that doesn't look too hard. Now, I'm not real mechanically inclined when it comes to engines and things like that. I mean, I can do some things, but not engines. But I watched a guy a few times, and he didn't really speak real good English, so he couldn't explain it to me. But I'm like, I can do that. And it broke one time. And I memorized, you know, I'd follow him. He'd have to go into the tool room, and there was parts, and he'd get this and this. And I'm like, okay, you got to do this, this, and this. I'm like, I can do this. And so I get the parts, I start fixing it, and you know what? It just didn't go like when he did it. I had extra parts, and it didn't work. Now, he was a Hispanic guy, didn't speak a lot of English, so I had to go get him. I'm like, hey, can you help me with this? And he came over there, and he's like, I don't know what he said, but I know he was saying something in Spanish, like, you tried to fix it yourself. He thought it was pretty funny, okay? Now, I needed his help. I'm sorry about that. I tried. But, you know, if you're a worker somewhere, just do what needs to be done. You know, well, I saw that, but, you know, I guarantee you if you see something that needs to be picked up or something that's out of place and you were to fix it, I guarantee you your boss wouldn't get mad. He'd probably say, there's something about that guy. But most people have to have help with everything. And by the way, I'm not saying if you don't know what you're doing, like I didn't know what I was doing, don't get help. But what I'm saying is don't have to always get help. And a lot of times it's just a lazy spirit. Well, I'm not even going to try to figure it out because, after all, it's not my job. Well, la-di-da. By the way, you want to get a raise? Work like that. Work. You say, well, boss of my work, he has favorites. You know, a lot of times I found bosses' favorites are the people that get the work done. If I was I'm a boss, that's what I want, right? Say, would you, look, when I coached our teams, I was accused one time of having favorites. So you have favorites on the team. I'm like, you know what? You caught me. I do have favorites. You know who my favorites are? The best players. They earned it. But man, you see someone and they're working hard and they're doing this and they're doing that. And you know, it's like, I don't have to always help them with everything they do. Now ask questions and those type of things, but be willing to work on your own and not have to always have help. And we'll stop there for tonight and we'll finish it up next week. Okay? Let's pray together.